is doing great. Everybody's doing well. Praise the name of Jesus. Thank y'all so much. Praise Jesus. Give an honor to our pastors, Pastor Kyle and his wife and dear family while they're away. Our Pastor Seth, his family, and then while he's away in Tennessee, texted me last night. The other ministry on the platform in the name of Jesus, our elders in the audience, our dear musicians. Thank y'all so much for bearing with me. Philippians 3:1. I'm not going to be long, just kind of. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. Yeah, that's a good place to say that. Thank you, David. I can always depend on you. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. That's when you're supposed to start rejoicing right there. You missed a good spot to start rejoicing. Hallelujah. Okay, now they ready. Now they ready. We're going to do it again because they ready now. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. Ain't got to read no more. I can rejoice in the Lord. Hallelujah. Rejoice with your hands, rejoice with my feet. I rejoice. Hallelujah. Yeah. You understand, we're rejoicing. Not because we got a new car in the parking lot. We're rejoicing. Not because we just bought a brand new house. We're rejoicing. Not because we just got a promotion on our job. But Paul said, rejoice in the Lord.
Yeah.
Rejoice in the Lord. Hallelujah. He says, for me to write the same thing to you, it's no bother for me. I don't mind writing it, but it's safe for you. Yeah. Let's go to chapter 4 and verse 4.
Come on now.
Praise the name of Jesus. Rejoice. Yeah. I'm reading the New King James, so bear with me, please. Right. He said, rejoice in the Lord sometimes. No, y'all reading that incorrectly. Rejoice in the Lord when you feel like it. Rejoice in the Lord when everything is going your way. Rejoice in the Lord when you just got some good news. Rejoice in the Lord when everything is going okay. No, but the Bible says, rejoice in the Lord always. Hallelujah. I'm just trying to practice what I preach. I don't want to be up here talking about rejoicing and not rejoicing. So all through the message, you're going to be seeing a whole bunch of this right here. When I think on his goodness and what he has done for me, my soul cried out, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I praise God. I'm about to take off running up here. I praise God for saving me. Rejoice in the Lord always. Rejoice in the Lord always. My rejoicing is not based on my economic position. My rejoicing is not based on who's in office. My rejoicing is not based on what kind of job I have. My rejoicing is not based on what kind of car I'm driving. My rejoicing is in the Lord. And the Bible says that the joy of the Lord is my strength. The Bible says I can look to the hills from which cometh my help. My help comes from. feel like rejoicing, y'all? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, brother. I kind of feel like rejoicing. Thank you, brother. I feel like rejoicing. Please be seated, if you can. I just feel like rejoicing. I don't want to be talking about it and not doing it. Hallelujah. He said, and again I say rejoice. In case you didn't get it the first time in the first chapter of Philippians, he said, maybe you didn't hear me the second time in the second chapter. He said, so I'm going to say it again in the third chapter, and then I'm going to say it again in the fourth chapter. At the risk of being redundant and being repetitive, I'm going to tell you again, I say rejoice. Hallelujah. Yeah, you can just stay right there. Ain't going to be held on all. Again, I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always, he says. Rejoice and happiness are not the same. I just want to make a clarification at the beginning. Because we understand to be happy come from the root word hap. Church, say hap. H-A-P-P. Which simply means something good had to do what? Happen to you. And there is nothing wrong with being happy when something good happened to you. You get your favorite meal. You get a big piece of cornbread with crackling in it. Or you drink a big cup of Kool-Aid. I like these things. And it makes me happy. You know, I get some chicken from Buzz. I like these things. I know they're not healthy, Brother Lumen, but this is the thing that I like to eat. And it makes me happy. And there's nothing wrong with being happy. But we're not talking about being happy. Because you understand happiness is something that affects you externally. Hallelujah. But we're saying, Paul is saying, rejoice. Thank you, Jesus. Rejoice comes from the root word joy. Church, say joy. Hallelujah. And it's not derived from something happening to us, but our position in relationship. Positioning in relationship is the source of our rejoicing. Hallelujah. Jesus said it like this in the book of Luke 10 and 20. He says, notwithstanding, praise God, in this rejoice not, because the disciples were excited that they were able to lay hands on demon-possessed people and they be healed and they be cast out. Jesus said, calm down. That's okay. That's whatever. You know, in the last days, everybody going to be able to do these kind of things. So Jesus said, don't rejoice in these things. He said, but I'm going to tell you what to rejoice about. Hallelujah. He said that the spirits are sub to you, but rather rejoice because my name. Excuse me. I'm kind of by myself for a few minutes. My name has been written in the Lamb Book of Life. I got a reason to rejoice, church. Here we go again. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I may be preaching to myself right now, but I got a reason to rejoice. Because the song says, if you don't believe that I've been redeemed, follow me down to back in my town, and you'll see I've been redeemed. I stepped in the water, and the water was cold. It chilled my body. I feel mighty good right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I can rejoice. If nothing good, Brother Hanson, never happened to me, if I never get another dollar again, my name has been written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and you can't take it out. My enemy can't take it out. My enemy can't take it out. Hallelujah. Yeah, it is there. The Bible said that we shall receive a new name. I don't know what my new name is, but it's there. My new name is there. And it says it's marked there because I know I've been baptized in the only saving name there is. For the Bible says that no other name that is given amongst heaven that we may be saved. But the name of Jesus, I was baptized in the name. I called on the name. He filled me with his spirit. Hallelujah. Nobody can tell me otherwise. I'm just feeling mighty apostolic. I'm just, yeah. One way to God. Baptized in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Rejoicing is not, hallelujah, just for new saints or baby believers. I'm sorry, new believers. Because sometimes we subjugate it to new saints and Christians, Jesse. We think because, well, they're just excited at this time and they're going to grow past this rejoicing. Because you see somebody get the Holy Ghost, they're happy and they're skipping and they're running. So we automatically subjugate, Eldon, we subjugate it to new believers. And we think that new believers are the ones that should be running and jumping and skipping. But the reason they're able to run, jump, and skip the way they do because they understand very purely and clearly their position in God. And let me tell you that we should never lose that new baby, new Christian, new convert, a vision of who we are in God. Because the Bible says that unless you be converted as a child, you won't make it to heaven. So we come here because we are maturing God. We kind of sit back and just kind of relax because we've been saved for so long. We understand the different parts of the prophecy of Daniel, the 72-week prophecy. And we can break down our doctrinal position and we know who God is and we understand who he is. But yet when it comes to rejoicing, we're just going to skip past that part because we are maturing God now. But Jesus said, unless you be converted as a child, as a skipping, running, jumping, rolling child, he said, you won't make it. I'm just feeling apostolic. I'm just going to blame it on that. Hallelujah. Depression, suicidal thoughts, anxiety, fears have no place in a rejoicing body. Yeah. Yeah. Hear me. I'm almost finished. It is impossible. Listen to me. I'm not trying to negate, reduce, or minimize what it means to be suicidal. I'm not trying to reduce what it means to be depressed. It is a real psychological and spiritual condition. It absolutely is. But it has no place at all in a rejoicing soul. It is impossible to be depressed while you are rejoicing. It is impossible to be worried while you're rejoicing. It is impossible to be down when you're rejoicing. Jesus. That's why the job of Satan is to make you not rejoice. The job of the enemy is to keep you within. Make it not throw your hand up. Make it not want to run around. He wants to make you sit back and relax. Because he knows once you start rejoicing, depression must leave. He knows once you start dancing, anxiety must leave. I got the remedy. Yeah, I got the remedy. Today, I will guarantee you a depressed-free life. Yeah. I will guarantee you an anxiety-free life. Every time you start feeling depressed, every time you start feeling worried, every time you start feeling a little afraid, just kind of throw your hands up. It's impossible. Some folks say, well, I'm not just that way. You know, I'm kind of to myself. You know, I'm kind of quiet, you know. I'm reserved by nature, and you know, I'm born again, but you know, I don't have it like that. And that's why we're struggling with these things. Never before has depression been at an all-time high in the church. Never before has anxiety and fear, Brother Owen, been at an all-time high in the church. I got an easy solution. If you are struggling with any of these things in the authority of the Holy Ghost, I dare you right now to throw your hands up just to play some sound music. Yeah, I don't care. Play something. Right here. Yeah. And just start rejoicing right here. Come on. Hey, yeah. Yeah, 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 yeah. And again I say rejoice. And again I say rejoice. Still feeling depressed? No, I want to know. Everybody sit down, please. Please be seated. Is there anybody else still feeling depressed? Because we're going to run this spirit out of here today. And not just out of here, but out of our lives. Praise Jesus. When we start rejoicing the Lord, when we start rejoicing the joy, listen to this. This is good. My wife gave it to me, y'all. No, she did, really. I'm not kidding. When we start rejoicing, the joy of the Lord becomes our strength. Listen, I want you to get this. Nehemiah proclaimed that the joy of the Lord is your strength. Isaiah 12 and 3 says it like this. Therefore, listen. With joy shall we draw water out of the wells of salvation. It's very simple. Joy is the connection. Joy, because we understand the root word of rejoicing is joy. So when we begin to rejoice, it connects us to the joy of the Lord. So when we are connected to his joy, anything is possible. All things are possible. That's why the enemy works so hard to steal and to rob us of our joy. The church used to sing a song, "This joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me. This joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me. This joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me. The world didn't give it, the world can't take it away." Because they understood something, that as long as they can get the joy of the Lord, sick in their bodies wrecked in pain. Man, let me get to this letter. Let me show you. Because you would think that when Paul was writing this letter, that he was somewhere sitting in a plush castle. You would think that he had his feet propped up and getting a massage from some, you know. You would think that he had a robe on and sitting in his air-conditioned house or on his patio or on the beach somewhere just, you know, writing a letter. You would think that because this letter, this entire book is permeated with joy. Sister Luma, you would think that he was sitting back and having his favorite cup of tea. Because, you know, that's all they drink is tea. Who drinks tea forever? You need some coffee in your life, right? That's all they drink is tea. Every time they come to my house, I say, "Bro, you want some coffee?" "No, man, I want some tea." "We need coffee." That was totally me saying it. I wasn't inspired by that. I just want to say that. But you would think that he'll be drinking some tea or coffee somewhere. Yeah. As a backdrop to this letter was written while Paul was at the final stage of his life. I ain't gonna get to the whole message. I don't care. This letter was written while Paul was in prison. This letter was written to a church that was born out of adversity. This church, Brother Hanson, had faced so much opposition in the early stages, Brother Wilson, of the growth. I ain't going to have time to get to it because I only have a few minutes left, but I want to just jump around if I can. This is the only church that was used as a model in giving. Because Paul said, as this church has gave, what am I trying to say? Your ability to give is directly connected with your joy. Glory to God. That's why God said that he loves a what? Cheerful giver. You can't give in the wrong spirit, but a joyful person just loves to give. What you want? I give it to you. Your joy is directly connected to your ability, not just financially, but in every other area of your life. It's directly. There's a direct connection. Find a happy, cheerful person, and I'll show you a person that don't mind giving. Show me. And I'm telling you, I got this last night while I was studying. You be a joyful person. You just love to give. That's all you do is just give. Hallelujah. The Church of Philippi is the only church. I said that already. Listen to this. It was born out of adversity and opposition, right? Somebody say, prison guard. Three people, thank you. Somebody say, prison guard.
Prison guard.
A psychic.
Psychic.
And a church goer. Again, say a prison guard,
a
psychic, and a
church goer.
That's what this church was born out of. The Philippian church, the history of this church, began in the book of Acts. The 16th chapter and the 13th verse. I'm not going to read it all. Please read it in your own leisure, in your own time. But the Bible says that on the seventh day, we went outside the city. And it says that to the city gate, to the side of the river, where we thought where we would be a place of prayer. We sat down and began to speak to the women who had assembled there. A woman named Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth from the city of Thyatira, a God-fearing woman. Listen to us and listen to this. The Lord opened up her heart. I kept going back and forth with that. I said, wait a minute. She's God-fearing, but God had to open up her heart. But you read the other two that God built the church out of, and it just happened kind of naturally.
Yeah.
I really shouldn't. Sometimes,
right.
The hardest people you want to deal with.
Come on.
Glory to Jesus. I'm going to skip past it. I don't have time.
All right.
But the Bible says that God opened up Lydia's heart, and here was the beginning of the Philippian church.
Right.
With this woman who sold purple for a living. After that point, in the same chapter, you keep reading down to verse 16. It says, and now as we were going to the place of prayer, somebody say a slave girl met us who had a spirit that enabled her to foretell the future by supernatural means. She was a psychic, no other way to put it. She was able to read the future. She brought her owners. She was a slave, so she belonged to people. She brought her owners a great profit by fortune telling. She followed behind Paul and us and cried, and kept crying out, these men are servants of the Most High God who are proclaiming to you the way of salvation. She continued to do this for many days. But Paul became greatly annoyed and turned and said to the spirit, not to the woman, to the spirit, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And it came out of her at once. Second convert to this joyous church of Philippians. We got Lydia and we got the slave girl. Listen, this is what the church was born. You get this? This joyous church was born with a psychic, a religious churchgoer. And let's get to the third person. Let's just kind of drop down here. Let's go down to verse 20. No, Verse 19. But when her owners saw that her hope of profit was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace before the authorities. So when they had brought them before the magistrates, they said, "These men are throwing our city into confusion. They are Jews and are advocating customs that are not lawful for us to accept or practice, since we are Romans." The crowd joined the attack against them, and the magistrates tore their clothes off Paul and Silas and ordered them to be beaten with rods. After they had been beaten severely, they threw them into a prison. Somebody said, a mistake. You can't stop God. And commanded the jailer to guard them securely. Receiving such orders, he threw them in the inner cell. That really is called the hole, or we call it lockdown. That's a place in the prison within the prison. That's called confinement. And you go to confinement when you do something really, really bad. You know, you do something, so you're not only in prison, but you're in an inner prison. You're not only bound, but you're extra bound. And every time you leave your cell, you're escorted in chains. So this is what they did to these men who were only guilty for preaching the gospel. Somebody say mistake. Verse 25, about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing. Yeah. That's the display of a praise and worship service. Yeah. Folks praying and folks singing. That's how we, absolutely. This is what we're doing. There was some of them were praying over there, and some of them were singing over here, and they were singing hymns to God. And the rest of the prisoners were listening, because I know y'all don't know how it sounds, but I've had the opportunity to work in confinement before, to my displeasure. Because it's always noise. And Brother Cohen know what I'm talking about. There, people are beating on walls and they're screaming things and all this junk. It's just very, very noisy and confinement. So this is a sound they probably weren't used to hearing. Because you get to confinement, you say, "Hey man, give me my soap. Hey man, give me my towel. Hey man, give me the cards. Give me that book." You know, there's all kind of stuff being, you know, hollered in confinement. But it was quiet this night. And these men, after they had been put in prison, they was put in confinement. There was no cursing and lying and swearing and "you owe me" going on. And "I'm not supposed to be here" going on. And "let me speak to the colonel" going on. No. Who was the sergeant? Who's security nine? No. It was none of that. They were praying and singing. Recipe for revival. Yes, absolutely. Other words, they were rejoicing. They wasn't considering their own state of being. They were not concerned with their own situation and their own circumstances. God did not tell them that, "Okay, pray and sing and I'm gonna release you." They had no idea what was going to happen. They just was doing what comes commonly to the saints. They was just doing what they felt natural to do. They was just doing what they thought they should do. You know, this was their habit. You know, they didn't have the luxury of having a praise team saying them happy. And they didn't have the luxury of having an anointed praise minister or music minister to sing and to direct. They didn't, they didn't have that. And they just had this quiet and this cold, this destitute place that stinks and you get treated terrible. And this is what they had. This was the format. This was their platform. And in the middle of this dilapidated situation and condition and circumstances, you heard somebody start singing, "Oh, when I think, oh, the goodness of Jesus." And you hear somebody saying, "Oh, Father, you're so merciful to me. And all you have done for me. Oh, God, you're so merciful and kind. Oh, my soul cries out. Father, you're able to do anything but fail. We serve you no matter what we are. Hallelujah." This is what you had. In that condition, they didn't have this luxurious auditorium where there is air conditioning. They didn't have, you know, things. Their feet wasn't loose, sister. They didn't have the luxury of having music that they like to sing. They didn't have some big screen dropping from the ceiling. They didn't have monitors telling them what to say. And but they had Jesus. They were rejoicing. They had the joy of the Lord. Good place to praise God. And let me tell you, the joy of the Lord does not require an auditorium. The joy of the Lord does not require a screen dropping from the ceiling. Come on, Brother Powell. The joy of the Lord doesn't require a praise team. I love the praise team. But the joy of the Lord comes from within. Maybe on your job, you kind of just start thinking about Jesus. It's kind of, you know, just kind of. Or maybe you're somewhere working, just thinking about what God done. You just say, I love you, Jesus. You know, you kind of get a little skip in you. Maybe you're at home, you're just taking a shower and just, oh, I love you, Jesus. God deliver us from being spoiled. From being spoiled to thinking that we got to have the right songs and we got to have the right music and we got to have the right atmosphere and we got to have the right condition and I got to be feeling okay and I need somebody to say something to me. Deliver us. Deliver us from this. If you lock me down, Sean, come hold my feet. If you lock me down, Brother Sean, sorry about that. And then my feet are shackled. And maybe I said, come here, Allie, come hold my body. I'm way stronger than you, so don't let me hurt you. And maybe, see, this is what they was. They was chained down. Hold me a little tighter, Allie, you ain't gonna hurt me. I cut grass. You know, and this is what they had happening to them. And in the midst of this, no lights, no air conditioning, cold, stinking place. And this day, they start saying, hallelujah, hallelujah. And other princes were looking at them like, what in the world are they? Are they cursing? Hallelujah. Never let your problems get you down. When that problem comes your way, lift your head up high and say, hallelujah, anyhow. Hallelujah, anyhow. Never let your problem. They didn't let go. The shackles stayed on their feet. Get you down. When that problem comes your way, lift your head up high and say, hallelujah, anyhow. Thank you, guys. Woo! This is the joy of the Lord. Hallelujah. And the Bible says that in the middle of these things, y'all know the story. Just let me reiterate for a few minutes. I'm through in about 7 minutes from now. Maybe 6 minutes and 48 seconds. I should be complete with this. Let me tell you. The Bible says, in the middle of this crazy stuff, in the middle of them rejoicing and acting like everything was going good, and in the middle of this silence praying, Jesus, Jesus, and this guy singing, the unexpected, because you understand, they were not expecting this.
Come on, Brother Powell.
God didn't inform them what he's going to do. Because if he had, it would have been easier.
Come on now.
Yeah, let's be honest now. If God told you, you got a prophecy from God and said, if you shout right now, every bill you have going to be paid for, who wouldn't do it? If I prophesy to you right now, supernaturally, that if you start rejoicing crazily and wildly and rolling on the carpet and spinning, every bill in your life, your house, your mortgage, your car, you're going to be debt free. Would there be anyone in here sitting down? Huh? Thank you, Brother Hanson. I'll preach it to you. Thank y'all. I'll preach it to y'all too. You wouldn't. No, you wouldn't. Stop acting like you got so much money in the bank. You wouldn't. I wouldn't. But see, you understand, that's really what God is doing. He's saying, praise me and watch what I'll do for you. I'm not going to tell you. Don't even expect. I know we should walk in faith. In faith, we walk by faith, not by sight. But, you know, so often we praise God because we want him to do something for us. Uh-huh. You know, Brother Luma told me the other day, we look at him as our facilitator.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to praise God because I need something. That's okay to praise him for that because we should. But what about just praising God because who he is? What about just saying, I love you because of who you are in my life? I love you because of your position in my life. You saved me and raised me. Okay. 3 minutes and 28 seconds. What if we praise God just solely based on who he is? Our relationship and positioning with him. Remember, because Jesus said, rejoice because your names are written. That's relationship and positioning. Our position. We can rejoice based on these things alone. And the Bible says about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing a hymn to God, and the rest of the prisoners were listening. Suddenly, a great earthquake occurred so that the foundation of the prisons were shaken. Immediately, all the doors flew slap wide open, which is, let me tell you, I open these doors for a living, and these doors not easy to open. Trust me, brother. Matter of fact, sometimes we can't open them. So this is an impossibility. Listen, it says that when the jailer woke up because in ancient times, the jailer lived in the prison. It was a custom for the head prisoner. He might have been the captain. His job, his family, they literally lived there. That's why he was able to wake up and go to the prison so fast. He literally had a bunk. I was reading this and studying this and found out that just a couple of hundred years ago, the captain, his house and quarters would be attached to the jail. We call them bachelor quarters now, BQs. But that's what they were. So this guy woke up out of his sleep and said, what in the world is going on? He saw the doors of the prison standing slap wide open. He drew his sword and was about to kill himself. Why? Because his life was based on the safety and the security of his prisoners. His life was in their hands, pretty much, because if they had escaped, it would have been his life. That's why he lived so close to the prison, because he figured, hey, if it's my life on the line, I want to be close to these jokers. That was the whole idea here. It says in there, he was about to kill himself. He assumed the prisoners had escaped. But Paul cried out loudly. He said, hey, Captain, don't do that. Don't do yourself no harm, for we are all here. And the prison guard quickly called for the lights. He said, hey, cut the lights off. I want to verify this. And it says, calling for the lights. And the jailer rushed in and fell down, trembling. He fell down trembling. Now, you got to understand this jailer. These guys were not what you think, you know, in the cartoons. These guys had to be of a certain disposition to be a jailer. These wasn't some wimpy, coward, sissy guys, if I could just say it that way without offending nobody. These men were masculine. These men, their countenance were grave. These men wore armor that regular men couldn't carry. These was men, they beards and probably had stuff dripping from their beards, you know, just intimidating guys. And, you know, just guys you look at and just want to walk, you know, want to see them in a dark alley, you know, somewhere. These guys was fierce in every sense of the word. These was not this typical people we think would keep prisoners, because they had to be tougher than the inmates. And the Bible says that when he saw this, just peeking through there, he said, these guys are still here. They had a chance to escape, and no one left. Not just Paul and Silas, but there were other prisoners there. And do you understand? These men were on death row. These men's sentences were to die. Everyone that was here, read the context. Everyone that was here had a death sentence. So what did they have to lose by trying to escape? Now, God said, I'm trying to birth me a church. I'm trying to birth me a church that would rejoice. I'm trying to get me a people that would rejoice and would shout and would sing and would praise me, not based on their circumstances and their conditions, and not based on their health, and not based on this, because when you give God, when you start rejoicing, it gives God praise. And the Bible says that he saw these men, and he looked in there, and this jailer fell to his knees. He said to him, I don't know what it is y'all have. I have seen a lot of different deities, because the culture of the Philippian culture, they worship all kind of different deities. Just they worship the Caesars and all different kind of gods. And he said, but I've seen a lot of things before, but I've never seen such integrity. I've never seen men that are sentenced to die, and when they have the opportunity to run, have the opportunity to leave, they stay. They stay for the glory of God. He said, I want what you have. I'm not sure what it is, but whatever you have, I want it. Well, if it's joy, give it to me. Whatever it is, I got to have what you have. And the Bible says, Paul and Silas said, okay, just come up here and just say this and repeat this after me. not. Come up here and just sign the dotted line and you'll have what we have not. Come up here and join a church, you know, and sit in this chair, you'll have it not. You know, repeat this prayer, not. The Bible says, I'm just going to tell you the story. Y'all familiar with it? Not only he got saved, but the Bible says that his entire family were all baptized. They were all baptized. And the Bible says they received the Holy Ghost. Why? Because they understood that whatever caused this man, these men to stay there, he said, I got to have it. I want it. And now we have the third person of this church that was born in such opposition and born in such adversarial condition, born in the middle of a storm. They got this crazy psychic girl that's screaming things about these men. And they got this religious woman that's on the side of the river selling purple. And this correctional officer that ain't thinking about religion. And God said, this is who I'm looking for. I'm looking for some people that know that they need me. Some people that are desperate for me. People that know that they can't make it without me. I'm looking for somebody who just have tried everything else and know that serving Jesus is the only way. I'm looking for some people who are not ashamed to say that I'm born again, are not ashamed to say I'm Pentecostal, are not ashamed to say I've been baptized in Jesus' name, are not ashamed to go, are not ashamed to roll around on the carpet. Why? Because they know that I am their joy, I am their strength, I am their everything. I'm their morning. I'm their Alpha. I'm their Omega. I'm their healer. I'm their lawyer. I'm their counselor. I'm their doctor. I am. That's what God is saying today. I am. I'm what you need. He said, only thing I want you to do is rejoice. 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 That's what this church was born out of. Rejoicing. They were born in this terrible, dilapidated situation and condition. I'm finished. Maybe you're here. You're saying, well, I'm happy sometimes. And sometimes I'm not. You're here and you're saying, oh man, all that's not really God. Come on. Maybe you don't understand the source of our rejoicing. But you're like the jailer and say, but I want that. I want to be able to rejoice when life has thrown me its worst punches. I want to be able to raise my hands and say, I love you, Jesus. When everything in my life is twisted and upside down, I want to be able to say, I love you, Jesus. When they just told my wife she has a condition in her body, I want to be able to say, I trust you, Lord. But I just lost my job. I want to be able to say, though he slay me, oh, he slay me, yet will I trust him. Yet will I trust him. Yet will I rejoice. Not when I come out of the storm, but right in the middle of it. Right in the middle of my storm. Right in the middle of my condition. Right in the middle of my situation. I will rejoice. I will rejoice. Maybe you've never been through nothing. Maybe everything in your life has always been absolutely perfect. Maybe you have never really faced real adversity, real, opposition. Maybe you've just been sailing through life. Then if that be the case, please excuse this message. Maybe next Sunday it'll be one for you. But if you have been through something, if you have ever wondered how in the world am I going to get through this, if you have been in a storm so long that all you see is rain, all you know is rain, everything you seem to have had a tough grip on, but the Pringle just always slips out of your hand. If you have ever received a report from the Lord, I mean from the doctor, as he told me, I'm sorry, you guys won't be able to do this. You guys, your body won't be. Then you know what I mean. You understand the basis of this whole sermon. And you are able to bear witness and say, I will rejoice. I will rejoice. Yeah, Brother Pringle, I know you've been there before. I will rejoice. I will. I wish somebody just kind of say that with me. Kind of stand it to your feet and just kind of said it. You know, I will rejoice. I will rejoice. I will rejoice. I will rejoice. Choice. It's a decision. It's a mind, state of mind. You just get it in your mind that I will rejoice. I will rejoice. I will rejoice. And be glad. Hallelujah. I will. I will rejoice and be glad. The altar is open at this time. You can come and just rejoice. You can come and just do whatever you feel. But if you do not have the Holy Ghost, and if you are seeking to have this joy, this rejoicing, I got good news for you. You wanna, you wait? Are you ready? It's available. This rejoicing and this joy that I've been talking about is available. Sing it, Jesse. It is available for you. This rejoicing is available for you. Please, brother and sister, don't leave here not rejoicing. Don't leave here without having the joy of the Lord as your strength. Not your house, not your car, not my wife, not your husband, not your money. But the joy of the Lord is my strength.
And be glad.
The joy of the Lord
is
my strength.
I will rejoice
and be glad.
And be glad.
I will rejoice.
I will rejoice.
I will rejoice.
I will rejoice.
Oh,
be glad.
I will rejoice even now.
I will rejoice.
Oh,
I will rejoice.
Oh, I will rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I rejoice.
Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always,
and again,
I say rejoice.
Rejoice in the Lord.
Rejoice in the Lord always, and again
I will.
I will rejoice.
Some of you, even after you've heard this message, this preaching, this demonstration of the grace and the joy of the Lord, and you wonder, I still don't have joy. I still don't feel joy. You're thinking of what you're going to go home to, or you're thinking of the person that you just can't seem to shake, which is yourself. You just can't seem to shake it. You see people happy and you're not happy. You wonder about it. Happiness, or I should say the joy of the Lord, is almost like a solar panel. I can give you a solar panel. That doesn't mean you're going to have electricity. There are certain things you have to do to a solar panel to have electricity. And the word of the Lord is somewhat like that. It's like the sun. You got to harness it. And there's a certain way of harnessing stuff. Some of you guys, your happiness or your joy is stuck somewhere. The Bible calls the Lord the wonderful counselor. There are issues that maybe the Lord has to deal with in your life that'll bring this joy out. And as soon as the issue is dealt with, you're going to experience the joy. And there's a way that the Lord has prescribed for you to do this. I encourage people to walk the word. Walk the word. Walk the word of God. It works. The word of the Lord works. It's awesome to rejoice in the Lord, and it's awesome to see people rejoicing. But I promise you, if you're not working the word, you might rejoice this moment, and the next moment you'll find yourself back in the same hole again. Because it doesn't work. The Lord deals with the root of stuff. And I promise you, if you let the Lord work on you, you will live with the joy of the Lord. And people will see you and they'll envy the joy that you have, like Paul. They envied the joy that they had, the liberty that they had in the Lord. And they say, what do we gotta do? What do we have to do? They were free from prison. They didn't leave because they were already free. Their freedom was in the Lord. So I encourage you, do rejoice in the Lord. But if you feel like you just can't shake it, and you can't just have joy, and that's what the whole world is seeking for. They're seeking for joy. Jesus said, my joy no man taketh away. They put him in prison. They couldn't take it away because it's the joy of the Lord. It wasn't their joy. It was the joy of the Lord. But the joy of the Lord has to be accessed. You have to access it. The Bible says, whereby are given unto us great and precious promises, that by these we become partakers of the divine nature. So I encourage you, if you can't access it by yourself, find somebody and said, I want to access the joy of the Lord, because it's one of the promises, great in promises, precious promises, that causes us to become partaker of the divine nature. Jesus Christ is not sitting in heaven having a bad day. The divine nature is he's altogether complete. He has everything that he ever needs. And the Bible says he makes provision for us to walk in that dimension. So I encourage you, do seek to know. Bible says we access it through knowledge. Find out. And then you could live in the joy of the Lord. And then someone will see you and they'll envy the joy of the Lord. They'll ask you, what's going on in your life? I want to hear it. So hug one another. Be encouraged in the Lord. And do find yourself even in the darkest time. Just begin to just make that music begin to sound in your spirit. And begin to worship God. He'll change the moment for you in a moment's time. In Jesus' name. I believe we have to break down today.